You are now listening to the New Old Heads Podcast, premiered every Thursday at noon Eastern Standard Time at BringDownTheBand.com, and brought to you by No Bad Ideas, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl, and Sun King Brewery. Support the New Old Heads by visiting our Patreon at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads Podcast. I am Major 7. I'm happy today is my birthday for taping or recording, whatever you want to call it, if you're old school. I'm blessed to have another birthday. Shout out to everyone that showed me love today. Really appreciate everyone. The crew is here. My man Jay Moore, fresh off of Bean Pie. What's going on, sir?
You know, another day in paradise, man. Just trying to maintain, just like everybody else. You know,
I feel you. I said Bean Pie, misspoke. That's what it looked like. Like a maybe flatbread or something fancy like that. Some artisan sandwich.
You know, I had to have myself a little snack. I mean, you know. I mean, it's not really conducive to my workout plan, but you know, I felt I was owed a little bit of a treat.
Okay.
You know, I still got my 5 miles in the day though.
I was about to say, his rumors going around, man. I keep seeing his watch popping up with 5 and 6 miles on it. And you know, they say you out here, so continue success.
I'm trying to run, 150 miles, for the month of September.
You do that, sir. You are the man. I wish you well on that. Cause that is definitely a tough feat right there. My man DJ J Diff, what's happening, brother?
Salutations, what's good?
You sound good and crispy. Sound good crispy tonight, man. That's what we want. Jay, you all right?
Yeah, it's for your birthday, man.
Yes, thank you. I wish you to wipe that screen off, but I'll take what I can get. You know what I'm talking about? I'll take
my
what I can get.
My screen looks better than yours, man. I'm trying to tell you.
I feel you. I paid my internet bill though, so stay out of my business.
For that 2 gigabyte upload, yeah.
You said I had one last week, so I'm making progress. Stay out of my business, man.
Maybe a little bit, maybe.
All right.
Fluctuates.
Stay out of grown folks' business. Round out the squad, as always. Live from the headquarters of Bringing Down the Band, my man Longevity. What's happening, sir?
Doing all right, Mike. Doing all right.
Good.
A little bit of neck, shoulder pain, but, you know, doing all right. So. Yeah. Happy birthday to you and all that.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. You know, as we get older, we can't do certain things. You know, just the smallest movement.
Can't move. Can't pick things up.
Yeah, man. You got to be careful with that because you'll set yourself back like 4 or 5 days by doing the wrong thing. So
stretch.
You know, yeah, I got to get adjusted to that too because you know, these late 30s ain't no joke. I'm just going to leave it at that. It's real out here, these streets. But,
Still web Yanni is young man.
I feel you. But yeah, man, everything is good. Good to see you brothers as always. And let's go ahead and try to jump into this thing, get into this rundown. So this is crazy to be too. I saw this one and I had to look at it again just to make sure I was looking at everything correctly. But you know, everybody says that I'm not gonna say everybody knows, but there are articles and stuff that are floating around, if you're paying attention, about Dr. Dre and his wife are apparently in the talks and going through the act of completing or trying to complete it. And, you know, she's been with him since, what, NWA? Like, they've been together for a long time, you know, and they're going through the proceedings. And there's a list that came out.
He was married when he got with her.
Say it again?
He was married when he got with her, so.
Okay, got you.
Say what?
He was married to somebody else. They first started dating.
No, because he was supposed to be with Michelle A. But they weren't married.
I didn't.
And because she before she got with Dr. Dre.
I'm not talking about. She was with Dr. Dre was married. I'm saying.
Oh, he talking about his. You talking about his wife. Right, not Dr. Dre.
Yeah, she was messing with this dude who played for the Lakers named Sadale 3. Wow. So you might, if you were a real Laker fan, you know about Sadale 3.
Okay, a good call. I was sleep on the Sadale 3 part. I didn't know that part. But in turn, she's filed court documents asking for $1,936,000. Look, I'm just gonna give you the list. And monthly spousal support and $5 million in legal and lawyer fees. So let me go down this list so y'all can see what she needs to live her life on a monthly basis. So the breakdown for the funds include $10,000 for laundry, $135,000 for new clothes, $60,000 for their two children's education, $900,000 for entertainment services, $125,000 of them things for charitable contributions, $100,000 to cover her Malibu mortgage, and $20,000 for her cell phone and email access.
What?
Yes, this is a list that
she's
I
still
have.
Paying by the minute. She ain't got free nights and weekends at this point.
I don't know what type of plan this is. This must be like,
see, this is why a lot of rich dudes don't want to get married. You know, they'd be like, not going through that.
I guess FaceTime, you can jump in the phone and jump out. Like, I don't know what's going on with the fees for this, but so that's a lot of bread, man. Here's my question.
Yeah, it's a lot of bread.
Here's my question to y'all. With her being who she's been to him, you know, for such a long time, are these numbers as ridiculous as they sound, or do you go along with the concept of cost of living and what you've become accustomed to as you've been married to Dr. Dre, who's a billionaire, 25 or 30 years? Loan, what's your reaction to this list when you first saw it? Is this justifiable anyway, or no? Based on what I
share this image on the screen while we talk about.
All right,
let
me see what you got.
I don't know, man. Here's the thing.
I'm trying to find something here.
Dre's a billionaire, right? He's officially a billionaire.
Yes.
Why am I hearing myself? So
close.
He's up there. So I did the math on it, right? So $2 million essentially a month for 25 years is $600,000. So that's a lot of money. $600,000, $600 million, excuse me. I think that she may be justified in some of the money. Okay. I don't know if I want to determine if that's the right amount. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know what all that stuff means. It seems excessively high in my opinion, but you know, what do I know? Okay. But what I will say is this list that she allegedly broke down, which everybody's saying that it is a real list, is absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
That's what I'm
like,
looking for.
She should have just put like $1.5 million to do whatever I want with, rather than try to justify $900,000 of entertainment per month. Or what mortgage are you spending $100,000 a month on? Like, how much does your house cost? What is your phone bill for $20,000 a month? I don't get it. I don't know. The numbers don't make sense to me, like based upon this list. But the overall number, I don't know. You know, like
that's a lot of money.
I would probably lean towards no. You know, like you could definitely like get by with a lot less than that, in my opinion. But you know, it's their marriage and really none of my damn business, but it seems excessive to me.
That's the thing. Like looking on the outside, looking in, we never really know, you know, I guess what you could say that you have to be in a situation to know exactly what's necessary. But, you know, with just glancing at the list, I'm like,
I ain't going.
The phone, the cell phone one alone, like the cell phone, email, that one right there is, I'm like, okay, you trying to stick before. Trying to sneak in another 20 G's just because, like, I can't justify it. I don't know how that's justified.
But why is this? Why does it say email? Who pays for email? Like this? Who put this list together? Like this cannot be her list. This has got to be somebody's bastardized list.
It probably is her list.
She's a lawyer, right? I mean, yes. She would probably know better than that. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. It just.
What you say? Jump in, J. Diff.
She hasn't had the pass or. He hasn't had to pass or represent anybody in court in how many years?
Not every lawyer represents people. Not every lawyer represents people in court, though.
I actually looked it up. She was married to Sadell Threat from 92 to 95.
Sadell Threat.
Whatever his name is.
Sorry.
She was married to him, though, for about 2 to 3 years. She's been on some bird brain shit for a long time, evidently.
Well.
Because... In the beginning, she stated that, when this first came about, she said there was no prenup. And then she backtracked and said, she was forced to sign a prenup. He ripped it up in front of her. Because you rip up a piece of paper in front of somebody does not mean that there wasn't an agreement. You know what I'm saying? And her as an attorney, that shows how stupid she is for even say some dumb like that. So that's why I believe this list, because if you begin to state that there wasn't a prenup, and then when you find out there is, you backtrack and say you were made to sign it. This looks like an accurate list. $900,000 for entertainment during a pandemic is very excessive. Like, what are you doing with $900,000 a month to entertain?
And you can't.
What, you can't what does that mean? What does it mean?
She's flying the OJs to her house every night.
Yeah. Are you like you buying the Staples Center just to sit there by yourself with no?
I lost you guys. Looks like my Discord crashed.
I don't get it, but and then the $20,000 for phone and internet, and I mean, she acts like she's paying a phone bill in the '80s with the phone with the suitcase.
Aren't their kids grown? Like, I saw some cheese about education.
Maybe it's college tuition.
Might be tuition, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, so I give her the benefit on that one.
$60,000. That's how much a year. I mean, a year at Harvard doesn't cost $60,000, and she wants that a month.
Yeah, she's tripping.
You know, she's talking about she needs what, $125,000 for clothes, and then so much for dry cleaning. Look, if you're dropping $125,000 for clothes, you just wearing stuff once and throwing it away. You're not cleaning none of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna look at it from a different angle. Maybe her attorneys or whoever is advising her said, let's shoot for something real stupid, and then he can meet us in the middle. But you know, even with Dre being a billionaire, and I understand this is just how these things go, you got to understand this is, I think sometimes you got to read the room. You know, people are literally, I saw a report on CNN to where there's about 35 to 40 million people who are in danger of being homeless because there's no rent protection. You know, the Senate left without passing any further protection for people to be able to stay in their homes. So, you know, divorce or not, these are the sort of things that need to be kind of kept under wraps, because, you know, as people are literally suffering in the worst ways in this country, for you to say you need, what is it, $20,000 for your cell phone bill and to send emails? It's insulting, and it's just in bad taste. You know, a lot of things that, you know, that rich people do are extremely bad taste. But like, there are some people who have been able to read the room, and you know, say maybe I shouldn't put, you know, the money phone up to my ear or show me buying a Lamborghini with crocodile skin on it or whatever it is rich people be buying. Just because right now is not the time when there are so many people in this world suffering. One of my favorite podcasts by, you know, sort of a celebrity is this cat named Bomani Jones. He's like, look, man, I understand it's rough out here. I have made a concerted effort not to wear my Rolex outside. Not
Shout
only because
Bomani Jones
right now, but because look, people are hungry, and that Rolex is the difference between somebody staying in or out of their house. So I just wanted to look at it from that, you know, to say, I mean, I don't care if you go into Harvard or ICDC college, $60,000 a month, talking about for tuition. Like, even if you were staying, you know, in some super duper nice apartment off campus, tuition and fees and labs do not come to $60,000 a month. And sometimes rich people got to read the room, man.
I think the point to the
pocket, like he's been doing. Like, why does that need to go to her for her to pay kids going to school? Exactly. Yeah,
he could knock it out, to Terry's point. Like, he could knock it out and be done with it.
Pretty sure that their schooling is probably paid for, like, beginning to end.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
With the prices going up, like, that's already taken into consideration. You know they're taken care of. So I think the point that both of you guys hit on, J Diff and also Morris. You know, it's like you can tell there's something crazy going on when he said the bird brain. That's why I was laughing, because this has an okie doke feel to it. It's like, let's go ahead and just jack up the prices real quick and hope we can get a little bit more realistic joint once they come down and we can kind of meet in the middle. Like, I think that's what this is, but you know, just
now,
some
with
of
all
this
that
shit
said, I don't feel sorry for Dr. Dre because he got it.
I'm not getting none of that. That just lets you know exactly how much a billion is for her to be requesting $2 million a month. Man, that's insane.
That's a lot of bread. That's a lot of bread, man. But with kids, it's grown.
So hard to relate.
What got me was $125,000 for charity. It's like, look, Ma, slow down. Me giving you $1.9 million a month, that's charity. Like, we can go ahead and cut that out right now.
Yeah, like that. What would you say? That's a contribution right there. If we're gonna keep it a buck.
Yeah. And the thing is, all this spousal support and child support. I don't know if people know this. And mind you, before there's a woman's movement in our chat. Paying child support is literally, as a man, the least you can do to make sure your kids are straight. But at the same time, none of child support and spousal support are not taxed. So $1.9 million to her is $1.9 million.
That's a good point.
That's $600 million in 25 years, which is a lot of fucking money.
Yeah. So it really is a situation where I'm not saying there are women, like, because the thing is, there are some women out here who are barely getting a $350 a month from some dude who, like, work at Sizzler or Kenny Shoes or whatever he's out here doing, just trying to make it happen. But, you know, I do think there should be a cap, because at some point you realize it's not child support, it's a grown woman support. And, you give a woman $10,000 a month, because that's what some of these, you know, I have a friend who was with an NFL player and it didn't work out on child support. What's crazy, that she got a check from the NFL, like her child support, because they don't want no problems. It actually has, you know, child support paid out to the NFL because they don't want no stories about deadbeat fathers in the league. So
that hurts the brand. They can't have that.
I mean, only why they playing, because if they, the average number of years for an NFL player is what, 5 to 7?
No, two and a half to 3.
I was gonna say 2 to 4, like especially to take advantage of your prime.
After they kick you out, they don't care no more. So as long as they got you covered while you playing for them.
At the end of the day, I think we can all come to an agreement that, you know, there's some bullshit going on somewhere. We just don't know exactly how this is going to finish. I'd be curious to see, though. I do want to see, once everything is over and completed, like, how much of this outlandish shit lasted and how much has been amended by the time they get done with everything. Man.
I tell you what,
I hope I'll be hit with that McCartney, because he got raped over the coals.
Wait, say it again.
Paul McCartney got raped over the coals.
Oh yeah.
What was the specifics? I can't remember. What was the specifics?
Got.
Like, yeah, settlement was somewhere in the 9 figures. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Like, he was married to this girl. I can't remember her name. She had one leg. She was kind of like the Alex Smith of
I see what you did there.
Yeah. And
I see what you did there.
Yeah, and she got over on him real bad, you know.
Heather Mills.
It was in the say
video. I mean, he had it, but at the same time, it's like, that wasn't the love of his life. They weren't even together for no long time, and they ain't got no kids together or nothing, I don't think.
Oh, she got a bag. Yeah, she came up. Now that's a come up. If they didn't have like Dre and his wife got history, like that's the old girl that you talking about. That's a come up.
Then the video him and Michael Jackson did together. She was in that video. Got divorced in the 2000s.
Okay.
They was together they probably was actually together longer. Then
he was with his first wife, the one who turned him on to veganism, because I remember she was on an episode of The Simpsons with him. Like, this other wife, the one with one leg, he didn't know her long enough time. And, like, you know, I mean, I shouldn't disparage some. You know, I'm not trying to disparage her because she had one leg.
Miss Mills. Miss Mills.
Miss Mills. Yeah. Yeah, we could do Miss Mills. That's fine. Call on. At the end of the day, man, this is some tomfoolery. We'll see when everything pops up, like, you know, what the digits are. But I cannot wait to see how much of this foolishness lasts and what is amended. So,
hey, wait, Dre, look, I know this. Yeah. I know this. If that prenuptial agreement holds up, she gonna mess around and find a way to stay, because, you know, she's not trying to go be out in these streets. Yeah,
the COVID streets.
I think he cool, and she might go. She might end up going dolo out there in them COVID streets.
I think he cool off the whole situation.
We shall see. All right, let's jump into this next topic. Apparently this happened, and I was asleep. Like I don't think I heard too much about it, but Cardi B and his Owens apparently went at it on Twitter and was really getting into heated conversations. And believe, if I understand it correctly, Candace Owens was pretty much just dissing Cardi B and talking about Joe Biden doing an interview with her and how ridiculous that concept is. I think we have a clip. Are you ready to share that clip from that sit down from her?
Yeah, let's see if I can get it to not crash this time.
Let's see if we can watch that real quick, and we'll kind of jump in from there. See what she's talking about.
Like, go out, grab a gat, and just kill people. But unfortunately, today, that's the majority of what rap has become, right? And so I completely agree with your assessment about Cardi B. It is one of the biggest insults. If Black Americans are not insulted by the fact that Joe Biden, who has been hiding in his basement, for the entire year, made an appearance and came out because he was going to do an interview with Cardi B. Do we have nothing better to offer? I mean, this would be akin to Donald Trump saying, I'm going to give no interviews, but he came up and he decided to give an interview to Justin Bieber. Right. I mean, Justin Bieber, I'm sorry. I know you are a Christian man. I don't even want to put
false equivalence
in the same boat as Cardi B. But it would be absurd. Right. White America would go, what is this? Why are you being interviewed by Justin Bieber? And it's because you're pandering. Right. You're pandering. You look at Cardi B's Instagram. You see she has millions of followers and you think, OK, this is an illiterate person. And if I appeal to this illiterate person and she does, like she literally did in the middle of this interview, and they think she's cool, she's hip, just by sitting here and taking this interview, Black people will vote for me. It's basically saying, Black people, you are stupid, you are dumb, and you're so foolish. I mean, do you think, what if she just said in the middle of the interview, Joe Biden, can you name one Cardi B album? No, Joe Biden, do me a favor, just one Cardi B lyric. He couldn't do it.
Whap.
Of course he's not, because he's being handled, and they're saying Black people like this person. This is what they're into, and so here you go, talk to her. Same thing with Hillary Clinton when she went on the Breakfast Club and she said she had hot sauce in her bag. Right? She didn't know what Beyonce's song that came from. One of her handlers said, "Say this." Right? Probably got the questions ahead of time. Say this. Say you keep hot sauce in your bag right now. Beyonce's song is trending, and it's hot sauce in my bag swag. And she looked like a fish out of water and said it. It is demeaning. It is pandering. It is ridiculous. Okay? And she asked pointedly ridiculous questions. I want lower taxes, but I want universal health care for all. She had no idea what she was doing. And yet both Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden made the time to sit with her because they believe Black people are stupid. And Black people that thought, yay, that's a win. No, it's not a win. It shows you that they still believe that you are so stupid that they couldn't find many of the amazing intellectual Black people that we have in the world to sit down with and ask them tough questions.
She's so mad.
An interview with Condoleezza Rice. Right. An interview with Larry Elder. Even if you want somebody that is a Democrat, that's fine. There are way more intellectual Black Democrats you could have sat down with, that you chose an illiterate rapper, because that's what she is. She's illiterate.
But don't she like Kate for Kanye? Well,
I mean, I would have paid money.
Say Kanye West. He's never really written about like.
Yeah, there we go. Anyways.
All right. So. OK, so. before we pass it around, and be quick with the responses on this one, because I think we can go back around again and maybe get into the chat. But I'll speak for myself first. I don't want Cardi B speaking on politics with presidential candidates either. That doesn't mean that I don't like Cardi B and her grind and all of that. This is not about music. I'm talking about the concept of her interviewing a presidential candidate and, I guess, being given off the appearance of speaking for all Black people. I don't know if I'm comfortable with that vibe. It's just like, you could say the same thing about certain like athletes, people that aren't prepared. Like, who knows? You could do a comparison for, you know, sports, whatever, however you want to pull it. But she's really bothered by the concept of, to Lone's point, the concept of or just the idea of Cardi B even talking to him. Like, you can see it really bothers her. She mentioned Kanye, called her illiterate, and no, like that's.
Just to interject real quick, I'm gonna interject really quick, then I'm gonna pass my time for. But what I'll say is the only reason she's speaking on it is because it helps her narrative. The end.
There you go. That's a good point, and it definitely helps her narrative. Terry, I want to come to you, but your screen is you flashing on me. Shout out to E40, you flashing, but I don't know if they. Maybe that is me. Looks like they flashed, and I'll come out and come back in. But talk to me, bro. How did that make you feel when you heard her talk about, you know, black people showing that black people are stupid and, you know, using words like illiterate and all that? How did that make you feel when you saw her going in on Cardi like that?
Actually, I can't stand Candace Owens.
Pause real quick, Terry, because you're like, you sound like an extra robot. see if you can leave the chat and come back in, see if that helps it, like what Mike did. Jay, if you want to maybe interject while Terry
Jay Moore, go ahead and jump in real quick and then we'll try to get Terry straight.
Okay, well, see, this is the thing. Candace Owens is not an intellectual either. She's a contrarian. She is somebody who will essentially, it didn't matter if it was Cardi B, if it was Lauryn Hill, if it was J. Cole or Kendrick Lamar or Ice Cube. She was going to find some reason to be upset with it. It would have been Ice Cube was done gangster rap, or Kendrick Lamar has said things about stretch marks, or, you know, it would have been anything. And you had to look at, if you didn't know who was in that video, there's a guy named Ben Shapiro, who basically carries a lot of the water for white supremacists. And I have no problem saying that, because, and that's what they have that in common, because there are a lot of white supremacists or people who buy into the idea of white currency in this country who say, hey, but I like Candace Owens. It was like, yeah, but you got to understand, you don't have to be white to be a white supremacist. So I'll just say that about Candace Owens. Now, another thing is she's saying that Cardi B is illiterate. Cardi B is not illiterate. First of all, when you hear Cardi B speak, and this is what I would say to anyone who makes fun of someone who speaks broken English. Most people who speak broken English, it's because they speak two languages. I don't think Candace Owens can speak two languages. And to say, like I said, Candace Owens is not an intellectual. Reason she likes Kanye and way Kanye likes her is because they're contrarians. They know that they can get a certain level of attention just by, like I said, speaking against black people and making it seem like these points that are really white supremacist talking points have some sort of validity because they're saying them as black people. And the thing is, like, if you're talking to people say, oh, pandering, you don't think that Donald Trump panders when he gets on television and says and use racially coded language? All politicians pander. I don't think we should be mad at that, because honestly, if I'm Joe Biden's campaign and I know that we're having a problem with younger people and connecting to younger voters. See, Joe Biden's got the older crowd. That's who carried him through South Carolina. It's the younger crowd that is either not aware of his platform or they're not into what he's doing. So, you know what? This was actually a boss move on his point to talk to Cardi B. Now, he has to talk to other people. You know, and he has done interviews, like, because before he'd done that, he had sat down with the Breakfast Club as well. I tell you what, who's not coming on the Breakfast Club is Donald Trump, because he doesn't want that kind of smoke.
When I see
Candace Owens, like, people have to take that with a grain of salt, because there are white people who will retweet Candace Owens and they think that proves that they're not racist. And I'm telling you, when you retweet Candace Owens, that pretty much proves that you are racist. So we're just
I want you to hold that thought right there. J-Div, jump in, because I know you originally had a point. I want to make sure you get your thought out, but before we continue to go around. Yeah, that's much better.
Can't hear you.
Can I hear me now?
There we go.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, what I was stating is, as much as I cannot stand Candace Owens, I agree with certain sentiments of what she said. These politicians, especially on the Democratic side, always pick who's ever popular at that time to, in order to try to do that whole bait and switch. So I'm talking to somebody that you can kind of connect with, but as soon as I'm saying the politics get started, it's back to the same shit that we've been doing. So I agree with her on that. I cannot agree with her on pretty much demeaning Cardi B, since that she's illiterate, and to Jay Moore's point, she speaks more than one language, so she can't be illiterate, so to speak. As a Kanye West fan, Kanye's been on some bullshit, and Candace loves Kanye, basically just because he sided with her on something. So if he was to come out and say he endorses Biden, which actually, if you've been watching his Twitter, there's been things on that he's been saying that actually is kind of giving the Biden campaign props lately. I don't know if y'all have caught the little few jabs here and there.
I don't follow him on Twitter. I haven't peeped.
Yeah. But yeah, everybody knows Candace Owens is trash, and anybody that follows her and looks to her as being the black voice, so to speak, and that's just false. But there is truth behind all these politicians pick the most popular, generally R&B rap artist at the time, or in Beyonce's case, she's R&B.
Yep.
Who kind of out of, you know what I'm saying, pick off of. I mean, Hillary's husband even was on Arsenio Hall's show playing saxophone, saying that he didn't inhale or whatnot. This has been going on for a long time, and it's always the same outcome. So I can G for that.
I didn't like. It's one thing to say, well, Cardi B might not be equipped to do, or be the person to be the spokeswoman or person for XYZ. But it's another thing to call her illiterate. Like, that's your both of y'all points when you're talking about someone that's bilingual. And you know, has a different heritage. Different heritage. There's no fucking way she can be illiterate. Like, that's, you know, that's a. I heard Jason Whitlock say that dumb shit. Like, he and
Jason
Candace,
Whitlock.
Your people's, right? Candace Owens, well played, Long. Candace Owens and Jason Whitlock are two peas in a pod. Like, he makes a living off shitting on LeBron James and black athletes. Like, that's his thing. So
aren't they both technically unemployed?
No, Jason Whitlock got fired from Fox, where he quote unquote left, but he's with the company now called Outkick, and all they do is just shit on black athletes and Black Lives Matter.
Oh yeah, Clay Travis. Yeah,
there you go. That guy,
Clay Travis, is known for his I'll just say it, white nationalist.
There you go.
Sports opinions,
and he got the right tap dancer beside him now. So he'll be able to shuck and jive and be right with him. So that's how they definitely going to rock moving forward. But the illiterate left a bad taste in my mouth. I didn't appreciate that. Like,
well, because to say illiterate, these are code words. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is, you know, when she says illiterate, that's like saying, hey, this person, despite being a citizen, despite being a potential voter, it doesn't matter what she has to say, because she doesn't speak in the same manner and speak the King's English the way I speak it or the way you speak it. So let's discount this person just based on those things. And that's not actually listen to anything she has to say. Like I said,
let's completely discredit her.
And plus, like I said, with Candace Owens, you know, I don't know why you're caping so hard for the GOP. You didn't even get invited to speak at the Republican National Convention, and they let everybody come to that. They let the two people from Missouri who was waving guns at people. Scott Baio was there. Like, it was people who haven't been seen since the last Republican National Convention.
What's
their
name? Diamond and Lace, whatever the hell them two.
I call them Bebop and Rocksteady. That's what I see.
Right.
Whatever.
Bebop and Rocksteady. You lost some people in the chat with that one. I don't know how old everybody is.
Go Turtle Go.
That's throwback. Go Turtle Go. Bottom line, man. Like, that's. Go ahead, Terry. I'm sorry.
I was just going to sum it all up as far as this whole political season here lately is just all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a grab. Just like, the whole, and this is a true is a true problem. The whole save the kids thing that's going on. That's mm-hmm. that's been an issue forever. Like, I don't know if anybody's been to the museum in Ohio, the Black History Museum.
Is I it
the, what's that called?
I can't remember what it's called. It's been a minute since I've been, but I remember going to it. Me and my ex had gone to that like on a day trip.
Child trafficking. Oh, and that's oh, wow. that's been there since it's been open. So if you haven't been aware or up on the whole child trafficking thing until somebody decided to say Black Lives Matter and you want to change the narrative, and you've been lost and you've been led astray, because it's actually all in the same coin. It's featured in that museum. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just it's basically pulling from one side of the political scene to the other side, trying to make it make sense or trying to make you choose sides, when those aren't political aims. Those shouldn't be something that your political party decides what you need to support. That's just something that as a good human you're supposed to be supporting.
Yeah, I completely logged out of all the political stuff once it became Biden and Trump. I mean, I knew I wasn't going to support Trump, so I don't need to hear all this nonsense that Biden's going to, I mean, everybody that I wanted is pretty much out of the race. So either Trump or Biden made my decision. I just turned it all off. I don't pay any attention anymore. Because it's all nonsense at this point.
It's getting sloppy, and it's going to get worse the closer we get. Like, we all know that. So I don't know, man. Well, I'm sure something else will come up, because to everyone's point about the pandering and picking out, we'll just call it hip-hop culture in general. I know Beyonce, but she still falls under that umbrella. That's always used at some point. So I think this will continue to go all the way up until it's time for everybody to cast their vote. So I don't know, man. But I guess we're just going to have to wait and see. But I have a feeling we'll be talking about this in some form with someone else in our hip-hop culture as it relates to politics. So,
and the greatest part about this whole back and forth with Candace and Cardi B has been Cardi B's responses mm-hmm. to Candace on Twitter. Don't get it twisted. Like,
you give Cardi some responses.
Cardi B is dragging Candace on Twitter, and it's hilarious. So,
see, that makes me want to go
check that out.
You got some of the tweets you can read off real quick?
I don't have anything up. I don't even know where.
I peeped this when Cardi did an interview with Combat Jack, God rest the dead. And I was like, first of all, like, she's a lot smarter than what I had seen on was Love and Hip Hop. When I peeped that out a long time ago, because at first I'm like, why is Combat Jack talking to Cardi B? Like, how are you gonna get a whole podcast out of, you know, Love and Hip Hop and Gangsta Bitch Music 1 and 2? I just didn't understand. And then when I heard her being interviewed, I was like, okay, I kind of get this. So I'm not surprised that she could go back and forth with someone like Candace Owens. Once again, Candace Owens is not intellectual. She's a contrarian. And I would say Cardi B is much closer to being an actual intellectual than Candace Owens, despite, you know, Candace Owens, quote unquote, being able to speak the King's English.
I'm with Lone on. I have to go back now. You guys,
I mean, that's a great point, though. And not to cut you off, Mike, but that's a great point. I mean, we are talking about, I mean, she's basing her intelligence off of what, English?
Yeah. I mean, like her command on the English language, like, speaking to her intelligence. Yeah. Or lack thereof, I should say.
That's the white supremacist trope, anyways.
Yes. But,
anyways. So
I want to go back. I'll definitely go back and peep Twitter. I want to see the dragging.
Yeah, I can't. I'm scrolling here, but I can't see any off top. So, but she was for. Hold on. Wait.
Yeah, it was Sunday night. So much.
Yeah, I mean, and it could turn into a whole other thing. But there's a whole bunch of tweets on there. You should definitely check out.
I'm gonna go back and find them. I'll definitely take a look at them. And we still got a little more show to go to, but let's shout out our partners real quick while we have a second. And then we'll get back into the remainder of the show.
We'd like to thank our partners for the New Old Heads podcast: No Bad Ideas Clothing Company, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl, Sun King Brewery,
and the hub for all things new old heads, bringingdowntheband.com. Remember, once you type Bringing Down the Band in the search bar on YouTube and the page populates, subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. And as always, we thank you for your support. Now back to the show.
All right.
All right.
We are back.
Shout out to my man Jesse, too, one of our regulars. He said, I forgot to mention that he gave us peas on how we do our new partners and stuff. He said he likes that very smooth transition. So forgot to share that with you guys. He said he really likes that. So shout out to the homie Jesse on that. Let's see. Let's jump back in here while we still got some time. So this is another one that I just saw pop up. I wasn't aware of, but Lone put me on game. 3-6 Mafia was in the news. Apparently there's a group that they've worked with on, from a production standpoint, rapper standpoint, from New Orleans, that they are suing for copyright infringement. And in the documents from June 25th that were obtained by XXL, the site learned that 3-6 Mafia has filed copyright infringement against New Orleans-based group Suicide Boys, who I'm not familiar with. The suit alleges that the group illegally sampled and stole about 35 tracks belonging to the Academy Award-winning group. 3-6 Mafia's attorneys claim the Suicide Boys illegally used elements from their songs Mask and the Glock, probably Jay Moore's favorite, Mafia Niggas, that's probably Terry's favorite, Smoked Out, Loked Out, that's Lone's, for tracks entitled Mask, the Glock, Smoked Out, Loked Out, and Break the Law, 2K16. That's probably Spools' favorite. Yeah, I'm
bunch
terrified.
Bunch of music Mike is scared of.
But each of the younger group's tracks feature the same instrumental as their 3-6 Mafia counterparts. So if I read the article correctly, it's $6.4 million they're being sued for. That's a lot of bread for a copyright infringement. But 35 tracks is also a lot.
Well, $6 million copyright lawsuit.
Oh, $6 million. Okay. So $6 million copyright lawsuit, 35 tracks. And Lone, you said something as well about Jay Dilla. Wasn't there something else that previously happened as well?
Yeah, well, further on the 3-6 Mafia thing, which is interesting, is that the Suicide Boys deny that they actually sampled any of the songs. And they
completely
also claim
denied
that, it? Yeah, and they also claim that Juicy J and DJ Paul don't even own the copyrights for most of the songs that they're accused of stealing from. So that's a very interesting... back and forth claim right there. So I just thought it was an interesting thing for the simple fact that copyright stuff has been, we've been talking about, you know, that side of the music business a little bit for the last few episodes, but
yep.
Yeah, it says even in this article too, it says, according to the documents, an associate of DJ Paul once offered the younger group $500 per show to open for Paul and they rejected the opportunity. And so it's like some weird back and forth blood between the two groups is what it seems like. And then they're just making it legal. But yeah, I don't know. I'd be curious to see.
I think 666 actually worked with the Suicide Boys on some things in the past.
That's what I'm thinking.
Terry, are the Suicide Boys, is that like a production group or is that like production and rap? That's the part I'm a little shaky on. I don't know what they're. Oh, it's just a rap group. Okay.
I think it's just a rap group. But I mean, for them to say that they didn't steal some of the titles of their songs are the exact same titles.
The right.
3-6 songs. So, I mean, that's just stupid.
Think about that, though, man. Like 35 records, though. That's a huge claim, man. 35 records. Like,
I can believe it. I mean, in today's time and internet age is like these kids think, and I don't even know if the Suicide Boys are kids, but there was something that just came up from a TikTok chick that literally took Ashanti's Foolish song.
I saw that.
Did it, out it her own, even has merch and everything going out. Then when people caught her out on it, now she's calling it a cover song. You don't go that far to make a cover song. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, you said she has the same title. You said she released merch with it?
Yeah, she's got merch and everything. And that's kind of similar to what the Suicide Boys are doing because they're sampling songs and they're naming the songs the exact same titles and saying that they're not sampling, not using their songs. So, I mean, this sounds legit to me.
It might be.
It's not that often that you see a claim where somebody says 35 songs in a copyright. Like, that's a lot of music, bro. That's a lot of music when you think about it. I think Lone has a screen share here. Let me see what's going on.
It's the Suicide Boys.
It's the Suicide Boys. Okay.
That is them. I had no idea who they were either, but that is them. I saw the thing about Ashanti too. I wondered if, because I think the girl is only like 14 or 15 in that. I don't know if you guys. Yeah, she's mad young. It's like she did a cover of it, but she kind of made it. I don't know. At first I was like, oh wow, she stole it. And then I kind of watched it a little bit more. I was like, oh, it just sounds like it's a cover.
You know what, man?
It's a whole nother beat. It's a whole nother beat. She's got a video to it. If you're doing a cover song, mm-hmm. you see somebody sitting there, acoustic guitar, or they just sitting in front of the computer singing the song. Like that's pretty much how like Justin Bieber got on.
But TikTok's kind of changed the game a little bit, though. You know,
I can see that. But in the same token, you can't say I got a new song coming out, Foolish, and then the lyrics are the exact same as Ashanti song, and you got a whole music video, and merch to go with it. That's a little extra for a cover.
It sounds like she's just ignorant, is what it sounds like. It's ignorant. Like it just sounds like she don't know better, but maybe she does. I don't know. She absolutely could. I mean, still a kid, but
somebody knew.
Dude, that's the thing. She's a kid. Like I didn't realize. I'm completely late to the party as it relates to the power of TikTok when it relates to the music business. Like I was sleep on how, you know, I'm used to YouTube and kids getting popular on YouTube and getting a million views. And next thing you know, somebody wants to sign them. I'm not new to that, but TikTok artists, quote unquote, that one kind of threw me back a little bit. I'm like, people really out here getting careers that might span a year or 6 to 8 months based off TikTok. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize it was that powerful.
She doesn't
from the influence standpoint. Yeah, like
Shocking song ain't nothing where you got to have a lot of range. But
see, here you go. See, you couldn't help.
That's not a jab. I mean, that's just being honest. And she couldn't even hit that. So,
oh, man. He's still fine though. I don't know about the range.
Jay Moore, what you think? We can agree with that.
There you go. Jay Moore, what you think about the 35 joints, man? Crazy, outlandish, ridiculous. Talk to me, man.
You know, I don't think it's ridiculous. I mean, there are people, you know, people are sampling the sample of the sample. And
if you're in a position where that's a bar right there.
You know, but at the same time, if you're, you know, if you dig deep into, people's Pro Tools files and you start to really deconstruct this whole thing, you see, oh, wait a minute, that's, you know, especially if you start using vocal samples. See, that's the thing. Some people are cool with it if you want to scratch their name or you want to throw this in there. But if you are using whole hooks, you got to come off some of that songwriting. You got to come off some of that publishing. That's just the way it is. You know, you can be heavily influenced by somebody, but once it gets to a point where you are actually interpolating something and you're not paying for that interpolation, that's stealing. And if you're stealing part of my intellectual property and you're streaming it and you're gaining some sort of profit and maybe you were able to broker a specific deal based on my intellectual property, then you got to break bread. Once again, talking about lawyers, you know, just going back to what we were speaking with the Dr. Dre and his wife.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you got to start high. Like if I need $5, I'm not going to, and I'm not going to ask you for $5. I'm going to ask you for 15. So, you know, cause if we work our way down to $5, that's what I wanted initially. It's the same thing whenever,
right.
Same thing. I'll just be honest. I've sold several cars on Craigslist and I always post them for like I'm thinking, okay, I'm probably get about $500 out of this car. So I post it for $850. So when a person says, you know what, can we do $650? I'll be like, oh man, you drive a hard bargain, but sold. And I do the same thing when I go buy a car, you know, I it's listed at $1,800 and I say, I got $1,500 for you cash money right now. You know, right. If you just want this car out of your driveway, and you know you got bills to pay, you're going to take that $1,500. So there's a skill to negotiation when it comes down to all of this, and that's why I think these numbers start out so high, because eventually, you know, something's going to happen, and we're going to say if you find out that they settled with the members of 3-6 Mafia, and it's going to be undisclosed terms, which means they didn't get the $6.5 million, but they did get something.
They'll end up with some bread. I don't know about that price, but they're probably going to end up with some bread.
Yep, probably so.
Written rule in music business that if you sample something, the other artist is going to get paid for it. I mean, Beyonce had to not only give Soulja Boy a writing credit, also got a Grammy off her using one of his lines, you know what I'm saying, in a song.
Yeah.
That's just common knowledge that if you're really stealing, blatantly stealing like that, or borrowing, then there should have been a contract in place to protect you and your brand.
Yep. It works both ways, you know. You could protect you and them, you know, get yourself taken, you know, give them the, you reach out, get it cleared. It gives them the ability to know that, you're wanting to pay them for it, but you also kind of save yourself in the long run. But that kind of transitions into the other thing too, which is right. That you mentioned earlier, Mike, which is the 10cc. So the band 10cc, I think that's how you say it. I mean, I've had this record for a long time, but they recently came out and they're, you know, suing for money from Dilla's Donuts from a sample that that he used on that album.
Did they say?
But the thing is, I heard that. I mean, it's been known that this was the record that he sampled. It's like "The Worst Band in the World" is the name of the song or something like that. I have the record.
Oh, okay.
But it was for the song "Working on It." Working on it.
Yeah.
But it got extra pub when it got licensed in two Dave Chappelle specials on Netflix. And that's nice. What kind of brought it even more to the forefront. And apparently that is when, I could be wrong, but I think that's when representatives kind of started trying to get their money from those samples. So the reason why I think this is an interesting conversation is because I've seen a lot of Dilla enthusiasts, and I even consider myself one of them, but I'm not in what I'm about to say, kind of like saying, why are you going to go after Dilla now for this?
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, he sampled them. And if that sample was not clear, sorry, it's on him, you know, and more so it's less on him. It's if he put it out on a label, which he did, which was Stone's Throw. And so Stone's Throw and Universal Music, you know, they didn't clear the sample, then sorry. You know, the thing is,
record companies, like, they're like, oh, why you got to go after Dilla? I was like, this is not the first time or the last that lawyers are going to go after somebody who is no longer with us.
Yeah.
It's not.
Has nothing to do with them.
Sampling is, you know, that's a game from a production standpoint. You think about sampling. On writing, like, you know, people can come after you if you didn't do what you were supposed to do on the initial release. Door is going to always be open. It's just a matter of who finds what and when they choose to decide to do something. Like, that's the game you play when you don't, you know, when you don't care of everything up front, especially if you have a name and you know there's going to be a lot of eyes that's going to be on your project. Like, you have to think about that, you know, prior to putting that work out, because they will come for you, especially if you make a lot of noise. I tell a lot of young producers that, they say, oh man, you got a sample, you do this and do that. I say, yeah, but just be clear. If you make a lot of noise, somebody is going to come after you. You know what I'm saying? It's just a matter of time. It can't happen.
If you reach the areas that you want to reach, then that's very possibly going to happen. You know, even your music that you made a long time ago, you know, like, shit, I've never cleared a sample. Or have I? But it's one of those things. Like, it's a risk that you take as a producer. It's like, you know, somebody might come for the back catalog. It really becomes official once you put on distribution platforms. Like, so, and you know, it's part of it. Unfortunate,
gotta
but
be,
it's
you just got to be weird.
It's what it is. So, yeah. Anyways, I thought that was interesting. I just saw a lot of commentary around like bashing people, bashing the legality of not clearing the sample, or like, well, he's dead. Why would you come after him now? It's like, apparently this has been going on for like the last 5 years. So,
yeah, the he's dead part, to Jay Moore's point. No, people got it. People gonna eat. If it wasn't done right, they don't care. Like,
and the thing is,
and it doesn't matter. That's the thing.
Oh, it doesn't. Yeah, you're right.
And the thing is, not only do dead people get sued, dead people sue people. Like the estates of Max. You know of people, the executors of the estate. You know, don't think you're gonna do some slick stuff in dealing with Michael Jackson or Prince or James Brown or anybody, any of the icons who have passed on, and think, oh, well, who's really checking for that? Trust me, if you decide you're going to flip, want to be starting something, you will get a call from somebody.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Tito might call you. These damn estates is paying for ads on NPR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the grave, paying bills still.
Yeah. I think the only argument that maybe like Dilla Enthusiastics might have was maybe there was a rush to put donuts out because Dilla was, he obviously was sick. And I think donuts came out like 3 days before he passed. So maybe they cut some corners and maybe it's in bad form. But at the same time, like, you got to cross your T's, got to dot the I's. And they've had over 15 years to do so. Well, almost 15 years to do so. So, anyways.
Well, I mean, Lone, I know and I both know we're not strangers to that conversation, and you know the pros and cons. I tell you that you and I have talked about this outside of the podcast for years about should we or should we not, or should we do this or that. So
that's why nearly 100% of the section leader stuff we do is completely original.
So. Yeah.
Well, I remember
we made that determination. So.
To a particular producer. I mean, it's not really like he said this on the record before, like Jake won. Like, we were lucky enough to have him come to town a couple times and been able to chop it up a little good cat. And, you know, he was honest. It's like, look, there's stuff I probably should have been sued for that nobody's ever came for me. But then there's like one little small thing where like he did like the intro for John Cena, the wrestler. And it had this little bitty piece of like a MOP song and they got him. Like they came for him on that. But he said, look, the way technology works and the way, you know, if you really, you know how to mask things, he said, look, it is, unless you're sampling something very, very obvious, it's kind of the Wild West right now. There are a lot of producers that are just daring people to catch them. But at the same time, if they catch you, you know, you're going to have to come off that bread.
And the problem with that is that in the future, we don't know what technology is going to look like. So even if you're like masking all this stuff, who knows what technology is going to be able to do in 5 years.
There's going to be something or 10 years from now that can catch it when you chop it up 100 times.
Oh,
you know what I mean? It could be something like that.
There's probably somebody's working on a digital beat sniffer right now. And, you know, you can put it up next to any beat and it'll be able to, if you got 10 samples in there, you know, it's sort of like Shazam. You press the button and within 30 seconds, it'll pull all 10 samples out. Like there are certain records, like the Bomb Squad could make records today like they make them now. If they tried to make the Beastie Boys Paul's Boutique now, it would be too cost prohibitive because like some of those songs had 5 and 6 samples from TV shows, from old rock records, the polka records. Like there's no way they could be made today.
For sure. Yeah, no, it's 100% true. It's
Lone would be getting a check. Getting a notice for 10 different samples in the mail about how you can go to court. So
I'll pay them. They can take percentages. Take the percentages. I've always had the viewpoint of, as a producer, like, if I'm being sued, I'm doing something right. It must mean I'm making some money. So, like,
oh, that's a bar right there. You just
come. I don't mind. You know, like, at some point in time, like, I've reached out specifically to people in the past, and a lot of times artists are just too busy to even respond anyways. And so it's like, you know what? Look, if this is on your radar that much, then you can contact me, and then we can figure some shit out. You know, I'm cool with that. But, yeah, you know, Shasta Blame One, because he told me, I remember Blame One, he's a San Diego, he's a OG, worked with people like Exile, Dirty Science, all those people. But I remember I used to be on a message board with him, Shasta Message Boards, in like 2006, was like Access Hip Hop. And I remember asking a question on the board to him once. I was like, man, what do you do about copyright samples? And he said, man, let them come. I was like, all right. Yeah. He's like, I haven't cleared a single sample. I was like, well. He's like, you're doing something good. I was like, all right, well, cool.
Nicole said in the chat, do it and be prepared to pay or don't. Said she's glad that people don't worry about it. And she said, imagine if we only had clear samples, like so much music would be gone. Like, she's right. Like, you know, you just got to do what you got to do. When that time comes, we'll approach it with a percentage or go from there. Like, is what it is.
Yeah,
that's gonna do it for this episode. Did I forget anything? You guys got any last second shout outs? Or no, Jay Moore got to get them turkeys out, so we want to make sure he get up there.
No,
upstairs.
No, I ain't got nothing.
Quick rest in peace to my man Wes, aka Solo. One of the building blocks of St. Louis hip hop. You know, he ran a record pool, had a tattoo shop, and just got the word through some DJs and some folks that I still know in St. Louis that he passed away. So rest in peace to him and blessings and peace to his family.
Word. Shout out to Nicole, rocking with us through the entirety of the show, and I believe she was in there for the pre-show. Appreciate you sticking around with us. I think you were. CAD was in here as well. Shout out to my homie CAD. I saw him earlier. I think we had a couple more people maybe that popped in and out from Nicole with us the entire time. So we appreciate you as always. That's going to do it for this episode. Remember to go to YouTube and search Bringing Down the Band. No, Lone, we have a new YouTube. Is that correct?
Yeah, you got to re-record all that shit. But no, just, I mean, if you're watching it, then just hit the like button, you know, like, so, I mean, but yeah, I mean, just go to newoldheads.com. That's all people have to do if they're really interested.
That sounds like I got a new recording in my future. It's going to do it for this episode. We appreciate all the support as always, and we will see y'all next week.